You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 27, by Dr. Rudolf Steiner and Dr. Ita Wegmann, entitled Extending Practical Medicine, formerly known as Fundamentals of Therapy. This is, translation is by Anna Moyes. This is Chapter 6, entitled Blood and Nerve. The functions of individual human organisms with reference to the total organism are particularly well demonstrated in blood and nerve development. Blood production consists in further configuration of the foods that have been taken in, with the whole process under the influence of the eye organization. The eye organization influences functions ranging from those that accompany conscious sensation in the tongue, in the palate, to those occurring at an unconscious or subconscious level, the actions of pepsin, pancreas, bile, etc. The activity of the eye organization then lessens, and the astral body is predominantly active in further transforming food substance into blood substance. This continues until the blood encounters the air, the oxygen, in the respiratory process. This is where the ether body plays its main role. Carbon dioxide that is in the process of exhalation is essentially live substance, not sentient and not dead, before it leaves the body. Everything that has ether body activity in it is live. The main part of this live carbon dioxide leaves the organism. A small part continues to be active in the organism, influencing processes that have their focus in the head organization. This part shows a marked tendency to become lifeless, inorganic, though it does not become completely lifeless. The opposite is the case in the nervous system. The etheric body is predominantly active in the sympathetic nervous system, which is present throughout the digestive organs. The nerve organs concerned are essentially organs that are live by nature. The astral and the eye organization do not organize them from inside, but from outside. This means that the influence of the eye and astral organization active in these nerve organs is powerful. Affects and passions have a continuous significant effect on the sympathetic system. Worry and cares will gradually destroy it. The astral organization is predominantly active in the nervous system, in the spinal marrow, with all its branches. This makes it the vehicle for the soul aspect of the human being, of reflex processes, but not for anything that happens in the I, capital, in the self-aware mind and spirit. The actual cerebral nerves are the ones that are subject to the I organization. In them, the activities of the etheric and astral organization are less marked. We see that this results in three regions within the sphere of the total organism. We have a lower region where the nerves, which are inwardly predominantly organized by the etheric organism, act together with the blood substance, which is essentially subject to the activity of the eye organization. In the embryonic and post-embryonic stages of development, this region is where the development begins of all organs connected with inner quickening of the human organism. As the embryo develops, this region, which is still weak at the time, is supplied with quickening and creative influences from the maternal organism that surrounds it. Then there is a middle region, where nerve organs influenced by the astral organization act together with blood processes, which are also dependent on this astral organization, and in their upper part, on the etheric organization. During the human development period, this is where the genesis of organs begins that mediate external and internal mobility. For example, for all muscle development, and also all organs that, whilst not actual muscles, nevertheless bring about mobility. An upper region exists where the nerves, subject to inner organization by the eye, act together with the blood processes that have a powerful tendency to become lifeless, mineral. During the human development period, this is where the development of bone and everything else begins that serves the human body by way of structural supportive organs. We shall only be able to understand the human brain if we see in it a bone-developing tendency that is interrupted in its earliest incipient stage. And we shall only be able to understand bone development if we perceive in it a brain impulse activity that has completely come to an end and is penetrated from outside by the impulses of the middle organism, where astrally determined nerve organs are active together with etherically determined blood substance. In bone ash, which retains its own inherent configuration when bones are put through a combustion process, we have the products of the uppermost region in the human organization. In the cartilaginous substance which remains when bones are treated with dilute hydrochloric acid, we have the product of the impulses from the middle region. The skeleton is the physical image of the eye organization, human organic substance that seeks to become lifeless and mineral, is completely subject to the eye organization in bone development. In the brain, the eye is active as a spiritual entity. There, however, its form-generating power, which influences the physical, is completely overcome by etheric organizing processes, and indeed by the inherent forces of the physical. The organizing power of the eye is minimal in the brain. It is swamped by life processes and by physical processes, following their inherent laws. This is the true reason why the brain is the vehicle for mental and spiritual eye activity, that in it, organic physical activity is not subject to the eye organization, which is therefore able to act in complete freedom. The bony skeleton, on the other hand, is the complete physical image of the eye organization. This, however, exhausts itself in its physical organizing activities, so that nothing remains of it by way of mental or spiritual activity. The processes in our bones are therefore the most unconscious. The carbon dioxide, which is pushed out in the respiratory process, is still live substance when within the organism. It is taken hold of by the astral activity, which is anchored in the middle nervous system and eliminated to the outside. The part of the carbon dioxide that goes with the metabolism to the head is there combined with calcium, and thus given the inclination to enter into the activities of the eye organization. In this way, calcium carbonate is pushed in the direction of bone development under the influence of head nerves, given their inner impulses by the eye organization. Two substances produced from our food, myosin and myogen, have a tendency to become deposited in the blood. They are initially astrally determined and in interaction with the sympathetic nervous system, which is inwardly organized by the etheric body. These two proteins are, however, also partly taken hold of by the activity of the middle nervous system, which is under the influence of the astral body. Because of this, they enter into relationship with protein decomposition products, with fats, with sugars, and sugar-like substances. This enables them to go in the direction of muscle development under the influence of the middle nervous system. The end of chapter 6.